You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Doctors to prescribe lethal doses of drugs to terminally ill patients is being put on the back burner. Dan Diaz tells Fox News he's disappointed in some California assemblymakers.
Polling in California shows 70% of Californians in favor of this, agreeing with Brittany that the individual should be the person to control their own end of life.
Diaz is the widower of Brittany Maynard. She moved to Oregon last year so she could end her life rather than go through the pain of terminal brain cancer. The End of Life Option Act was shelved Tuesday after it became clear it would have had enough votes to make it out of the State Assembly Health Committee. The bill had been approved last month by the state Senate, and its authors say they'll now use the coming months to try and convince reluctant assembly members to support it. Brittany Maynard's widower Dan Diaz tells Fox News that all his wife wanted to do was choose how she died.
She was very protected throughout this entire thing, and simply applied for, qualified for, was finally given this prescription, and it sat in the cupboard, and she focused on living life.
Game wardens in East Texas are considering pressing charges against a man who admits to shooting a 400-pound alligator suspected of killing someone. Kent Robna tells a local CNN affiliate that he trapped the alligator, shot it, and left it on the marina dock Monday. The 11-foot gator is suspected of killing 28-year-old Tommy Woodward, who jumped in the bayou late last week, despite a sign at the marina that said no swimming, alligators. Make sure to join us online for more special interest stories, news, and headlines at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Ron Taylor. You're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
On today's program, I'll go to the mailbag and answer a question from a fellow Crown Trophy store owner on how to deal with an unsatisfied customer and repairing a fractured relationship, as well as how to train and empower your employees on how to handle that situation when you're not on the premises. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy right here in Flemington, New Jersey. And this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 75 degrees at 12:06. And the forecast is showing that today will be mostly cloudy with some breaks of sun, possibility of a shower or thunderstorm around throughout the day and tonight, with a high of 83 degrees and a low of 68. For tomorrow, partly sunny skies, less humid, a high around 84, a low of 62. Saturday will be sunny with few clouds throughout the day and a high of 87, a low of 63. Sunday, periods of sun and clouds and a high of 88, a low of 68. Current check of the financial market shows everybody's back up and booted up today, with the Dow up 156.10 to 17,671.52. The NASDAQ is up 50.76 to 4960.52. S&P 500 up 17.49 to 2064.17. Oil is up $1.23 to $52.88 per barrel, and gold is down $1.80 to $1,161.70 an ounce. Well, a whole lot has been going on since we got together last. I missed last week's show due to taking my son down to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte for his freshman orientation. So in the 2 weeks since we've gotten together last, here's just a brief recap of what's been going on in the world. Donald Trump has announced he was running for president and then proceeded to create an international incident with Mexico for comments that he made about illegal immigration and illegal immigrants in particular. A church shooting in South Carolina left 9 dead, and because the shooter was pictured with a Confederate flag, there have been calls to remove the Confederate flag from all public buildings, which could happen today. That measure has been passed in the South Carolina Senate. Even TV Land has removed the 1970s TV show The Dukes of Hazzard from their program lineup because the car the Duke boys drove around, called the General Lee, had a Confederate flag painted on top of it. The Supreme Court ruled that gays can now marry in all 50 states and enjoy all the benefits associated with marriage. Pluto is on the verge of being named a planet again. Congratulations, Pluto. Greece has no money and no real plan on how they're ever going to fix their economy. The Supreme Court upheld Obamacare. United Airlines servers shut down yesterday, canceling 800 flights. Wall Street servers crashed yesterday, canceling all trading for most of the day. And now on top of all that, you want me to host a radio show. Well, what on earth would we have to talk about? Now, during this portion of the program, I usually kind of get you updated on what's been going on with me, with the store, and things like that. Two quick stories, and then we'll get into the program today because we got a lot to talk about. I am so happy right now at work, and it's not because busy season is over. It's because we have partnered with 100 Central High School and brought in two handicapped students to work with us. They only come in 2 hours a day, 4 days a week, along with their job coach, and we have to give them certain tasks that we want them to complete. The way trophy figures arrive, everything is typically put in plastic bags, so we're asking them to take them out of the bags and then put them back in the box, and they're doing it so well and taking such good care of the product that it's just heartwarming to see how hard they want to please us. And they always come in with a smile on their face. Part of their training is to learn social skills, so how to make eye contact, shake your hand, say hello, say good morning, say goodbye at the end of their shift. It's just been a blast working with these two boys for the last couple of days, Zach and Ryan, that have joined us, and they're going to be with us through the end of the month. So if you have a business that can possibly benefit from something like this, small tasks that these guys can do, and we kind of just leave them alone, and their job coach is grading them throughout their term with us, I would encourage you to get involved. Call the folks over at 100 Central High School Work Readiness Program. It's a great program. And also the CEA has a similar program, so we're going to be partnering with them in the fall. Once some of the construction is done at our store, we're going to bring some of the folks in from CEA. Similar thing. Just how can they help us, and how can we help them? And then I mentioned that last week I was in Charlotte, North Carolina for my son's orientation at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And now he had to stay overnight one night. So my wife and I went into downtown Charlotte for dinner at a place we had heard about a few months earlier called the King's Kitchen. And it was established in 2010, and the King's Kitchen is managed by Pastor Jim Noble of Jim Noble's Restaurants, and he donates 100% of the profits from the sales to feed the poor in the Charlotte region. Now, additionally, the King's Kitchen partners with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Dream Center and other local area ministries to provide job training, life skills training, social etiquette workshops, financial management guidance, and employment intern opportunities to Charlottians in search of a new beginning. And many of their employees work their way back up from dishwasher to busboy to sous chef as they get their lives back on track. Many of these folks are homeless or addicted to drugs, so getting their lives on track and then getting a job and job skills training is important to Pastor Noble. Now, while every penny of profit at the King's Kitchen has a higher calling, each bite of the food served to patrons features Chef Jim's signature new local Southern cuisine. And specialties include premium Carolina organic produce paired with fine meats like their famous Aunt Butte's pan-fried chicken. I personally recommend trying the fried macaroni and cheese appetizer. Yum. Oh, that was phenomenal. I also had the scallop entree, and my wife had the Carolina risotto. Everything was delicious. While there, we met our server, Sarah, who told us her story of how she was addicted to pain medication and knew that she had to break free from the addictive grip of her medications. And I'm happy to say that she has. And along the way, she found employment at the King's Kitchen. And just the passion that she has for the work that they do, it made us want to help a little bit more. So we were able to leave a donation at the end of our meal for the King's Kitchen so that it could continue doing the good work that they do. Now, 12 years before opening the doors of the King's Kitchen, Chef Jim and his wife Karen were awakened to a calling from God, and rather than opening just another restaurant to simply feed the body, the Nobles were called to start a ministry that would also nourish the soul. In 1998, Jim and Karen started Restoration World Ministries and their weekly radio broadcast ministry, The Voice of Healing Faith. An ordained minister, Jim uses this outreach as a way to share the teachings of Christ as well as remain open to the ways God calls him to serve. Over time, Jim recognized the relationship of his two passions, serving food and serving God, and was led to the ministry of feeding the poor. The mission of the King's Kitchen operates as a public restaurant serving local, healthy Southern cuisine, and the profits and proceeds from the King's Kitchen will go towards feeding the poor. In addition, the King's Kitchen will work with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Dream Center to operate the Restoration Program, a five-part training program to employ, train, and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to the homeless, the poor, troubled youth, rehab graduates, and other members of their community who are in need of employment. The King's Kitchen will operate in the spirit of excellence by training and equipping the whole person, the spirit, the soul, and the body, thereby sending out developed leaders into their community. And this will be done by working together with other local ministries, businesses, nonprofits, and people of faith. Now, I know that for the next 4 years, I'm going to be in Charlotte a lot visiting my son, and I hope that if you find yourself in Charlotte, North Carolina, you'll also look up and try the King's Kitchen restaurant. Feel free to make a donation, as my wife and I did, so that they can continue helping others. But, man, if you want good food, get yourself to the King's Kitchen down in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was excellent. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about an email that I received from a Crown Trophy owner that sparked a lot of research on my part, and I'm thinking that hopefully this show can help them in addressing a problem that they're having in their store. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
Well, I want to switch gears for a little bit because every now and then we get some mail in the mailbag. We get an email or a letter, and I want to share that with you. And this one in particular came to me from a fellow Crown Trophy store owner, and I wanted to share it because I've had this conversation with several business owners over the years, and now that it's affecting this individual, I wanted to talk to ways to handle the problem so that hopefully he can get an amicable resolution down the road. Now, here's what he writes. He said, Jim, I was on a plane home from Nashville last night and unable to catch any sleep as the mind begins to wander. Not sure if you've covered this on your show, but just an idea, how to deal with an unsatisfied customer and repairing a fractured relationship. And along that same line, with our convention coming up, how to train and empower your employees on how to handle the situation when the owner is not on the premises. Now, this is a great question, and it comes up a lot in business. And there is no real easy answer. I think each approach that I'm going to lay out is good. But you kind of have to tailor it to the situation that you're in. Now, dealing with an unsatisfied customer and repairing a fractured relationship, I'm going to want to break this down into some bite-sized chunks. But one of the most important aspects in this scenario will be keeping the lines of communication open between you and the customer. Now, here are some tips from leading business leaders on how to handle this. I've also inserted some of my own. But let's be clear. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. The customer is not always right. Sometimes they are. Sometimes we screw up and we have to fix it. And we have to not necessarily try to come out on top, but make the customer happy. So how do you do that and still maintain your business sense and presence as well as make the customer happy? Now, I always want to start a conversation like this with two thoughts from Earl Nightingale, who was probably one of the first motivational speakers back in the 1960s. He said, "The best form of advertising is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. Conversely, the worst form of advertising is a dissatisfied customer with a big mouth." And it reminds me of a friend of mine who used to tell me that if he ever had a bad experience in any business, and he mentioned this when I was first opening up my Crown Trophy store, he said, "If I ever have a bad experience at any store, doesn't matter whether it's in the mall, a restaurant, a sporting goods store, whatever the case may be, I go out of my way to tell 20 people that I had a bad experience and what that bad experience was." So that wasn't bad enough. He's going out of his way to tell 20 people that there's a problem. But then those 20 people may relay the story of what happened to him to 20 of their friends and 20 of their friends, and it just becomes a mushroom cloud, and it really has a negative impact on the individual business. So you always have to be looking at the big picture. Do I go for the win? I'm right. I'm sticking to my guns. That's it. Or do I work with the customer to try to come up with a solution that works for both of us? The other thing that Earl Nightingale used to say was that all the money you're ever going to make is currently in the hands of someone else, that being your customer. So how do we get the customer to spend their money in your business, at your store, and remain loyal? And then if we do make a mistake, or even if they make a mistake, how do we rectify the situation so that they'll come back and they won't be like my friend who used to tell 20 people about the bad experience? Now, here's another follow-up to my conversation with my friend. I mentioned to him, when something goes right, when you get great service, or when you get good service, how many people do you tell? And he said, none. I expect to get good service. I expect to get great service. That's all well and good. But here he went out of his way to tell 20 people. And I can remember getting phone calls, or I'd be on the lawnmower and he'd stop me and he would tell me about a particularly bad restaurant that he went to or bad service he got at a store or at a restaurant. So I knew I was one of the 20 people on his list. But if you're not going to share the good, why share just the bad? Why try to ruin people just because you feel you have that authority? And what makes you necessarily the authority that can do that? Now, no entrepreneur wants his or her customers to be unhappy, not to mention that it's bad for business. So I've compiled a list of the 17 ways to approach the situation. We're going to add a little bit to each thought as we go, but hopefully somewhere in this conversation, you're going to find ways that you can avoid getting into a bad situation. So again, the topic we're talking about is dealing with an unsatisfied customer and how to repair the fractured relationship. Number one, don't react first. Try to listen and put yourself in your customer's shoes. It does make a difference in how you'll approach the situation. Now, most people want to react, but the most important thing is to fully understand the problem and see it from the customer's point of view before you react. Now, it's easy to truly care about them, and once you truly care about them, it's a lot easier to solve their problem. And this is one time when I tell people to just shut up and listen. You know, when a person comes into your store and they start complaining about a product, service, pricing, whatever the case may be, they've already had time to think about it, prepare what they're going to say, how they're going to say it. They may have prepared in front of a mirror so that they can really hit you when they come in. The best thing you can do is let them get it off their chest. Take notes, figure out what the pain points are, and then move on towards the solution. So that last sentence, shut up and listen, is probably the best advice I'm going to give you all day. Don't necessarily try to fight them toe-to-toe on what the problem is. Instead, listen to the problem and then think in your mind of one, two, possibly three possible scenarios that you can use to make the situation better. Item two, let's find the median between the needs. Now, customers are human beings, so ask yourself, what would you really want in their situation? Is it a refund? Is it a replacement? What's going to make you happy? So find the median between what you need and what they need. And you can call it a compromise, but in reality, it's a sacrifice. For example, discounting their bills shows that you're willing to share their pain, and that goes a long way with a lot of your customers. So again, finding that happy balance. You don't want to necessarily lose money. You don't want to give away the store, but in the same respect, you also don't want them to leave unhappy. Number three, be on their team. Now, always be on the same team as the customer. For example, a customer wants to return a product outside of the return policy window, as an example. Instead of saying, sorry, it's too late to return the product, and you know, you see that on receipts all the time, you have 14 days, you have 30 days, or something like that. Instead, remind them that it looks like the purchase is outside of the return window, but let me see what I can do for you. Then the customer will see you or your sales rep as an ally and not as the enemy. And if you think about it, how many times have you gone into different businesses, you've had either a product that broke, doesn't work, it's not what you thought it was, and you're pissed off, and you want to go in there, and you want to tell that sales rep what's wrong with it. Would you rather deal with somebody who's going to fight you every step of the way, or would you rather deal with somebody who wants to help you find that solution? So always be thinking on the side of solution. Number four, use the customer's insight. Now, unhappy customers can be a gold mine. I'm going to stop right there for a second. I'm going to underline it, and I want you to listen to that. Unhappy customers can be a gold mine for a business owner and for a store owner, and here's why. When you're running your business, whether it's a store, a large manufacturing facility or something, you're focused on the task at hand. Now, this question today came to us from a Crown Trophy owner. So let's say you're worried about finishing an order of 100 trophies. All you care about is, I got to get the trophies built, I got to get the plates engraved, I got to box them, I got to get them out the door on time. And that's great. Your customer is the gold mine for how you can improve your product or service. So listen to them. And about twice a year, I'll send out an email in a news blast and I'll ask the customer, how are we doing? It's the old Ed Koch mentality, the mayor of New York City. He used to always ask the press, how am I doing? How am I doing? Same principle here. Ask your customers how you're doing. What can you be doing better? Whether it's customer service, the number one complaint that we get, and again, we probably average close to 1,000 to 1,200 emails per day, is not communicating well enough with our customers. And we work on this every single day to the point where we have now implemented a process. When we receive an email that says, Jim, I need to order 10 trophies, we reply right back to them. Got your order. Thank you very much. I'll call you with any questions. And then as soon as we do have questions, as we're writing up the order, maybe we don't have all the information we need, we don't have the engraving, we're getting right back to them. We tell them, we ask them what day they need the material ready. We tell them when we anticipate the job will be done. And we call them as soon as the job's done. We don't just email, we call them and say, your job is done, ready for pickup. And they appreciate that. That was the number one complaint I used to get from customers. Even though in my mind, I knew my staff was going to complete the order, the customer doesn't know that. And when their deadline is coming up, they start to get nervous. So increasing our communication was a key tool. But listen to your customers and see that as a gift. What do they see as a problem with your company that you don't? And it's not so much that you don't, it's that you probably can't because you're so focused on the task at hand, you're focused on getting the jobs out the door, you're focused on profit and loss and metrics, and you're thinking about how are you going to pay the rent this month and things like that. So poll your customers, and you probably have 10 or 15 good customers, great customers, customers you consider friends. Ask them honestly and openly and candidly, what can we do to make your experience at our store, at our business, better? For some, it's how will the, it could be a problem with the website. For some, it could be communication. For some, it could be pricing. And for some, it could be the expected delays that they anticipate when they place an order. We have a couple of Crown Trophy stores where I see it on their email signature. All orders will take a minimum of 1 week to process. That will never appear on our email signature, because if you need it now, you're going to get it now. If you need it 2 weeks from now, you'll get it 2 weeks from now. If you need it next week, you'll get it then. But I'm not telling you that you have to wait a week as soon as you send me an email saying, please place this order. If you need it in 4 days, you're going to get your product when you need it. The fifth step in dealing with an unhappy customer, dealing with customers that are unsatisfied, if you will, is don't disagree right away. You never want to flat out disagree with an unhappy customer, because this is only going to make the conversation more adversarial. It's far more constructive to be empathetic and agreeable with customers, and then you can calm the customer down and also potentially learn from them. So many times when I talk to business owners and they want to tell me, they brag about, well, my customer came in and they had made a spelling mistake and we had already engraved a product, and this was an opportunity for me to bill them twice. Well, that's just great, dummy. In the meantime, yeah, you made a little bit more money, but have you lost a customer in the long run? So don't disagree. Again, always be working towards the solution portion. And as we talk about solution, that brings up our sixth point. Let them lead you to the solution. Now, I love having these types of tough conversations, because they lead to solutions that make customers happy, and they're helping to steer that process, so it's always gratifying for them. They also might lead to solutions that can fix a problem that you don't even realize you have, and it's the best type of market feedback that you're ever going to receive. So again, let them work with you. Sometimes I simply ask the question, after they've told me what the problem is, how can I make this right for you? And then I just have to sit back and wait, because it's coming. Like a freight train, it's coming. What is it? Is it a product replacement? Is it a refund? What do we have to do to make it right? And if it's going to fit within the way we run our business and get them to be happy and also continue to be customers, then I'm all for it. And keep in mind that the question was, how do you deal with unsatisfied customers and how do you repair a fractured relationship? This one here goes a long way. Letting them tell you what would be the best solution, if it works for you financially, if it works for you production-wise, go for it. But always be gearing toward, and don't be shy about asking at your next order, we will also do this, because you want to keep them thinking of using you. Currently 12:29 here at Taking Care of Business at 100 in Chamber Radio. Going to step away for a quick break. We come back, we're going to have more tips on how to deal with unsatisfied customers and how to repair a fractured relationship. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Several groups in Los Angeles want Bill Cosby's star removed from the Walk of Fame.
A public policy group and several civil rights organizations have sent a letter to the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce asking for the star to be pried out of the ground after released documents reportedly say Cosby admitted to giving drugs to one woman. Cosby received his star in the 70s, and last year someone wrote the word rapist across it when sexual assault allegations against the comedian were made public. Group officials say the Walk of Fame is for people who have made positive and wholesome contributions to America. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
The Confederate battle flag that's flown outside the South Carolina State House will likely be gone before the end of the day. The State House of Representatives voted early this morning to remove the flag and put it in a military museum on the Capitol grounds. The State Senate passed the bill earlier this week, and now all that's left is for Governor Nikki Haley to sign it. Haley has already said she'd do just that. This is USA Headline News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for the next half hour, and we're tackling an issue that came to us via the mailbag, and that was from a Crown Trophy store owner, a fellow owner, who asked the question, how do you deal with an unsatisfied customer, and how do you repair a potentially fractured relationship? So we've already given out our top six replies on how to do that, and now let's tackle some of the rest. Again, this is a very important issue, and it's one of the things that I talk about with my staff is when a customer has a problem, the clock stops. And what I mean by that is we have to stop what we're doing and address their needs at that moment. It can't be, I'll get back to you tomorrow, I'll call you next week. It has to happen today. It's Larry Winget's old phrase, TNT, today, not tomorrow. Nothing's more important than the issues affecting this particular customer. So as we get into our seventh remedy of how to deal with an unsatisfied customer, you also want to think about making the customer whole. Now, first of all, you want to apologize for and explain the situation. Potentially, you might have to issue a refund, or you might have to offer an additional benefit for sticking with you. But have a set strategy for specific problems and personalize each response. You cannot just do this in a blanket form letter type deal. You want to deal with the individual, and they have to know they're dealing directly with you. Great customer service can turn unhappy customers into brand advocates. Poor service will do exactly the opposite. So again, try to whatever you can to make the customer whole. Number eight, and this is probably one of the harder ones for many business owners that I talk to, just tell them they're right. You know, admit a mistake. When a customer is unhappy, the most important thing for them to know is that they were heard and that you understand. And the best way to do this is to start by agreeing with them. After you establish that, you understand, they know that you understand them, and they will be much more receptive to being flexible on how the issue is resolved. So again, letting them know they're right, making them whole, having them lead you to the solution, all key points in how you can make this relationship almost eliminate the second half of the question of how do you repair a fractured relationship. Number nine, you want to listen to them. When there's a problem, the first thing you should do is listen. And this goes back to the first thing I talked about. Shut up and listen. And you should understand what happened from the customer's perspective. And if you have any questions, ask for clarification. Then ask the customer exactly what would make him or her happy. It'll win them over for life. And if you can give them more of what the customer asks, then you'll gain a major fan. And you'll also be surprised at how listening can benefit you personally. We talked about uncovering things that you don't even know are problems within your business. The 10th one, and probably the most important, and is apologizing to them, which is always hard for anybody. Think about one of the first times you were 4 or 5 years old and you had to apologize to someone. You probably cried, you shook, you were sweating, and it could have been anything from breaking your mother's favorite teacup, but when you had to apologize for it, it was very uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable to do in business, but it's probably the best thing that you can do. Over the course of the years on this program, I've talked about the six most important words in business. A poster that was hanging in a factory I worked at in my teens, and it was just a poster hanging near the break room that said the six most important words in business, and it went from the sixth to the least most important word. And the six most important words were always, I admit I made a mistake. Be willing to do that. Be willing to admit that you've made the error, and then work towards that solution. There's nothing more frustrating than hearing somebody say, well, I'm sorry if you've been inconvenienced. Passive language makes it sound like the customer chose to be frustrated, not that you delivered a poor experience. So begin with, I'm sorry, and then move up to, how can we make this up to you? You'll not only make that person happy, but you're also going to learn how to improve yourself and your processes along the way. Number 11, very important, call them. Every company has unhappy customers. A customer can and will mostly express his or her displeasure through an email or via a review. Human contact is the best way to tackle the issue head on. You'll notice that the customer may be more relaxed and open to reason on the phone. They're willing to talk to you. They're willing to work with you. They're more relaxed than they are when they're frantically typing out an email. And he or she is likely to be very appreciative when a higher-up or even the owner of a company takes the time to pick up the phone and call them. So, pick it up. Number 12, you want to respond from the top. To resolve problems, have your company's CEO, president, owner reach out directly to the customer. If the customer sees that the issue has been escalated to the top executive without having to ask for it, it will deliver the message that his or her satisfaction is a top priority and that your company really does care. Number 13, evaluate their expectations. When a customer is unhappy, there may be a very good reason for it, and it's important to take advantage of this situation. So ask the customer about the origin of his or her discontent, and then it's up to you to evaluate and improve the situation. Make sure to ask the customer about his or her expectations, too, to avoid any communication issues. If the problem, and we've heard this, I think every trophy store in the industry at some point has heard this, a customer will come in and place an order, and then when they go to pick it up, well, that's not what I wanted. Well, what do you mean that's not what you wanted? You picked this particular model, you picked this particular color, and you picked that particular figure. What do you mean you didn't want that? I thought it would be taller, I thought it would be redder, I thought it would be bluer, I don't like that particular figure, whatever the case may be. Sometimes you may have to rebuild the whole job, and that's okay. I tell my staff all day long, we'll rebuild it until they're happy, and the customer appreciates that. Does it cost us more money to do that? Yes. Is it worth it because the customer's satisfied? Yes. So if you ever get to the point where a customer comes in, they've described in great detail what they want. They want the tennis figure on white marble bases with a red column, and you give them a tennis figure on white marble bases with a red column, and they still say that's not what they wanted, let's break it down. When you said a red column, did you mean a red Starfield column, a red splash column, the midnight red column? Which color red were you talking about? Details, if this is the way this person's going to act, and B, you need to get those details, not just for this particular order, but you need to make a note in the file for all future orders that you have to get as much information as possible. And don't be shy about making them a mock-up to approve before you actually go into production. Number 14, you want to make it right. I am not going to say that the customer is always right, because I don't feel that they always are. But I feel like I always need to make it right. Now notice I didn't say I always have to be right. If we have to go above and beyond to reconcile a difference or repair hurt feelings, we will do it. And I suggest asking a lot of questions. Ask why the customer is unhappy, what happened that made her or him feel that way, and what does he or she want us to do about it. Often, the customer just wants to be heard, and you'll notice a change in the demeanor during the conversation. And now all of a sudden, they're like, you know, I still like you. I still want to do business with you. Let's make it right and move forward. Number 15, ask one question. One way that I deal with an unhappy customer is by asking, what exactly is happening or not happening for you? And then I give him or her all the time they need to explain. And sometimes, despite my urge to end the conversation, I remain as quiet as possible. And then I use phrases such as, I can tell you're very upset and I will do my best to resolve the problem. I'm looking for the solution. Whenever the customer demands a response, I'll also ask him, what do you feel would be a fair resolution to the problem? Now, a lot of times, sometimes you just can't fix it, and other times you can, but you have to give them the opportunity to tell you what's going to make it right. So don't be shy about asking them, what do you feel would be a fair resolution to the problem? And if you want to fix the second part of that question, how do you repair a fractured relationship? Let them tell you how to do it. They may never want to do business with you again, but they may like you just enough where they will. They just need to be satisfied in the way that's going to satisfy them the best. So let them tell you what that will be. You also want to give personalized attention. And when a customer has a problem, one thing that can be really irritating is going through contact forms and automated emails or automated voicemail and not being able to talk to a real person. As much as possible, give customers personalized attention so that they feel heard and have a positive experience in resolving their issue. Empower your staff to get as much information as possible and, if possible, to solve the problems themselves. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, because that was another part of this question, was how do you let your staff handle these problems if you're not in the office. And finally, in the 17 points, give the customer validation. Now, you have to acknowledge your unhappiness honestly, and you have to make it clear that you're working towards a clear and expedient solution. The only time things get contentious is when you're unable to acknowledge a mistake that was made. A clear validation of the customer's concern and a corrective plan usually can fix the issue. You want to communicate with them throughout the process on how you will make things right, whether it's to reorder, to replace material, etc., to make a refund, but keep them in the loop. So that's the 17 points that some business leaders have all made and said that this is the best ways to handle it. I've added my insight where we can. The number one theme that I would tell every business owner when faced with this issue, and again, for those just joining us, I see a couple of people have just logged in. Question came to us from one of the Crown Trophy store owners. How do you deal with an unsatisfied customer, and how do you repair a fractured relationship? Throughout the whole process, and sometimes this is the hardest thing for people to do, you must stay calm always. It's actually very disarming to the customer when they came in expecting a fight for you to be calm and asking them, how can I make this right for you? How can I make it better for you? In recruiting, when I was in the recruiting industry for 8 years, we used to have a technique called mirroring. So if a person talked fast, we talked fast. If a person talked slow, we talked slow. You know, and basically what you were doing was putting yourself on the same plane as that person. Now think about a customer who comes in upset with a particular problem or about one of your products. If they're upset and you mirror that and come back as being also upset, you're almost telling them, I want to fight you. I'm going to go toe to toe with you. I'm going to challenge you on everything you possibly say. Now, be calm. Be the voice of reason. Many years ago, there was a proposed development in Bridgewater, and I went up against the town council, not because I opposed the development. It was because I knew that some very hazardous substances had been poured into the ground, and I wanted to make sure that the town, before okaying the development, got that remediated before the development went through. So as everybody else was coming to these meetings with that NIMBY attitude, not in my backyard, I just very calmly laid out the facts. And later, one of the town councilmen, who eventually became a freeholder, told me, nobody knew how to deal with you because you were the only one in the room who was calm. And it made us want to work with you. And eventually, they did get the land remediated before the construction actually began. But he goes, the only reason that happened was because you were the only one in the room who wasn't shouting back at us. So I always took that advice and said, use that in business as well. And it's so funny how quickly you can disarm the angriest person if you just stay calm. And then don't be shy about offering them more than they expected. Maybe it's, I'm going to replace all of the product and I'm going to give you a discount. It will cost you money. But again, when you measure that up against the cost of customer acquisition, is it worth it? How much does it cost you to obtain one customer versus how easy is it, or what does it cost to maintain and retain customers? In my store, we average about a 98% retention rate. When I flip over the calendar in January, I already know to within a few $1,000s how much money I should be making that year just on retention. And then obviously I want to go after new customer acquisition. All of that would be impossible if I have customers running around telling the world that they're upset with how I do business. It's currently 12:45. We're going to step away for our final break. When we come back, we're going to answer the second question, which is how to train and empower your employees on how to handle the situation when the owner is not on the premises. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Good morning, Huntington. This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Huntington kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Huntington County community, business, and education. listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, huntertonchamberradio.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you every Thursday at this time, noon o'clock, as we tackle the issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in the county of Hunterdon in beautiful and Flemington, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Again, we want to thank everybody for joining us today. One of the largest audiences we've had on the program this year, so very glad that everybody could join us. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, don't be shy. Send me an email, send me a text, and let me know how we were able to help. And if you have some suggestions on this same topic that you feel we didn't touch on, by all means, share them with us, and we can include them in a later broadcast. So the first part of the program was talking about dealing with an unsatisfied customer and repairing a fractured relationship. Now, I want to touch on the relationship issue one more time. A lot of times when a customer says, you know, they storm out of the store and they say, I'll never do business with you again. I'm going to tell all my friends never to come here. You need to hit that early. You can't wait for it to fester and anything else. So that's when you want, you could even handwrite them an apology and send it to them at their home and let them know that, you know, you're sorry that they were upset by the service they received. You'd like to make it up to them. Please give me a call. And don't be shy about asking them. What can I do to make this right? I've enjoyed working with you over the years. I want to continue that relationship. I consider you to be a friend, not just a customer. And we talked about that a few weeks ago on the program, how customers want to be engaged with the businesses, not necessarily just feel like a transaction. So do everything you can. Don't be shy about sending out a letter, not necessarily explaining what you did and why you did it, but explaining that you're sorry and that you want to make it up to them and you'd appreciate a second chance. And then work hard as hell to make sure that if you get that second chance, that you get everything just right. Now, the second question in this email from one of the store owners that wrote to me was, how do you train or empower your employees on how to handle the situation where a customer is unsatisfied when you're not on the premises? Now, in 2 weeks, all of the Crown Trophy store owners should be going to Delray Beach, Florida for our annual meeting. And a lot of times that means that we're leaving our stores in the hands of our employees for 4 or 5 days. I think one of the best ways you can train your employees is simply to lead by example. Now, if they see you fighting with every customer, what do you think their reaction is going to be? They're going to fight with every customer. But if they see that you put the customer first, if they see that you are always looking to make the customer happy, then that's what they're going to try to do as well. I joke in my office, I have an admin named Susan who's been with me now for about 4 years. And we worked together 25 years ago in the insurance industry. And when I hired her, she was brought on to be my admin. She was brought on to help me with QuickBooks and reconciling daily invoices. Not necessarily to be a salesperson. But one day I noticed I was on the phone, I was getting a lot of phone calls. and it was just me and her in the office. So she stepped up, went to the front counter, and started helping customers. And I could hear out of my other ear that she was talking with great knowledge about acrylics, glass, metals, trophies. She was talking about the fact that we offer signs and shirts, upselling where she could. And I realized that in that moment, she had a total of about 13 minutes worth of training, and yet here she was handling the customers. The same situation can happen with your employees. Give them the power. Empower them so that they feel like they can try to create a resolution that will hopefully be satisfactory to the customer and be satisfactory to you, and support whatever they come up with. It may cost you money. It may not. But if it means that you're not going to lose another customer, let them do it. And we had a story on that a few weeks ago as well, where customers were encouraged at this Australian company to create their own solutions, to run it past another employee, and if the other employee agreed to it, then it was okay, and they would back you up when you brought it to the boss. Now, whether you realize it or not, your employees emulate the way you treat your customers. Most employees are loyal and will do everything to support you and your viewpoint. If you fight with customers, so will they. If they see you work toward a solution, so will they. Give them the authority to make decisions for the company to come to a solution, and then you have to support it. Make sure that they write down all of the concerns from the customer and get complete contact information so that you can follow up with the customer later. Now, I enjoy when a business owner tells me that they got into a huge argument with a customer. I love hearing how stupid they sound. Who cares who's right? Just make the customer happy. Now, in today's Yelp, TripAdvisor, Angie's List, Google Review, Yahoo Listing Review, Manta, Merchant Circle, and God knows how many other services are out there world, you have to do everything you can to avoid getting any negative reviews on your profile, because whether the aggrieved party does it online or while talking to others, it's going to have an impact on your business. When it's online, good luck trying to get any kind of negative review removed, even if the person who wrote it agrees that they overreacted and they contact Yelp or somebody. It's very hard to get that removed. And very often, as we've seen in the Twitterverse recently, even if it's only up there for an hour, people grab screenshots and then they start reposting it. You'll never get rid of it. So make sure that you're doing everything you can to keep that customer satisfied. Now, this may sound crazy, but I love letting the customer yell at me, and then I totally disarm them with one statement when I say, all I care about is finding a solution that will make you happy. What do we have to do to make that happen? This is what I call the save the drama for your mama response. You know, when a customer comes in and they're ranting, raving, hollering, when they're screaming at you, when they're bringing product back in through the front door, I don't care about any of that. You can yell, you can rant, you can rave. I don't care. At some point, I'm going to call timeout, and then I'm just going to ask you, what do we need to make this right? I think part of that comes from my EMT training. We'd get to a crash scene, and there'd be people everywhere, and people are screaming and running around and everything, and I'm like, okay, how do we get to the solution? And this came to me in some of my heavy rescue training when the instructor, we had a car wrapped around a pole, and people trapped inside, and everybody's calling, we got to get the jaws of life, we got to get the hearse tool, we got to get this, we got to get that, call the fire department. And our instructor walked over to the other side of the car and simply opened the door. And we were like, okay, that was stupid, but that's what we're looking for. How do you get to the solution the quickest way possible? So again, save the drama for your mama, go right for the solution. And then now all I want to do is work on the solution and the rest is just noise. So tell me the problem, let me fix it. I can remake the job, I can reorder product, I can return their money, but I let them tell me what will make them happy, and then I follow through with that. The key takeaway here, sometimes you have to lose in order to win. So many business owners take great delight in showing the customer where they were wrong that they lose sight of an opportunity to make it right. They love to do the job again and bill the customer again instead of finding the solution. So whenever possible, contain your costs on a redo, try not to lose money, but understand that sometimes that will be necessary. And then you should make a note in the customer's file of the problems encountered, especially if they were vague or unclear in their instructions at the time of order. For instance, the example I gave earlier, red Starfield columns versus red Twilight. So if they ever come back, you know this could be a potentially difficult customer and you need to be on your toes throughout the whole process. If you try to go for the win to prove that to yourself that you were right, you will ultimately lose. You'll have the satisfaction of saying that you won, and the customer will still feel as if they have been wrong. Instead, always go for the solution to the problem, not necessarily to prove that you were right. So hopefully, for this store owner that wrote the question, how to deal with unsatisfied customer and repairing a fractured relationship, and then how to let your employees do the same, lead by example, shut up and listen, and always work towards the solution for that's going to make the customer the happiest. Can't guarantee that every single time it's going to work that way for you, but I'm willing to bet you that 90% of the time you will retain that customer, you will make them happy, and you will make them an advocate. And that other part about having the customer tell you what they like and dislike about your business is huge. Let them tell you what it is they like about working with you. We brought up a question a couple years ago. What do you like about our catalog? What do you like about our website? And we got great feedback that we were able to then share with our corporate office. Any Crown Trophy owners want to talk about this offline? I'd be glad to talk to you later when I get back to the office. For right now, we got to take a look at sports in NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt Jr. won the rain-delayed Coke Zero 400 at Daytona Sunday night, a race that didn't end until 2:45 in the morning. But the biggest winner of the night has to be the driver of the number three car, Austin Dillon, who on a last-lap crash got airborne and crashed into the catch fence. A scary crash that tore his car in two, and thankfully Dillon was able to walk away from the crash uninjured. This week, the teams will load the haulers and head to Kentucky for the Quaker State 400 on Saturday at 7:45 p.m. In other NASCAR news, sad news, former Daytona 500 champion Buddy Baker has left his radio show The Late Shift on SiriusXM due to an inoperable tumor in his lung, and we wish Buddy the very best. In soccer action, the USA women's team defeated Japan 5-2 Sunday night to win the World Cup and will take part in a ticker tape parade down Broadway in New York City tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. In the NFL, New York Giants player Jason Pierre-Paul had his index finger amputated as he was involved in an accident with fireworks over the weekend and injured his hand. As a result, the Giants have rescinded their $60 million offer of a contract for him and said they will see on a weekly basis whether or not he'll be able to rejoin the team this year. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Royals, and Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair.com.